Hi, everyone. It's so good to be here on behalf of all the people that are being helped by Robinhood. I got to know Robinhood since I got to know Paul Jones when Robinhood was basically a glimmer in his eyes and he would play basketball with kids down in Bed-Stuy. I was lucky enough to see what he and all the Robinhood people have done to help alleviate poverty in the United States in a very personal and effective way, and be able to be a part of it. And what you're all doing is great. So I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing and tell you how delighted I am to be able to be here and to do my small part. I was asked to talk about bubbles. You know, is the market in a bubble, stock market in a bubble, what's in a bubble? I just wanted to give you some thoughts about that. And I've got about 10 minutes to do it. And so I want to be quick. Bunch of years ago, I started to think about, well, what is a bubble? What do I mean when I have a bubble? Because I watched a lot of bubbles over my something like 50 years of investing. I thought there were six things that made a bubble in my mind, and I'm going to rattle them off, then I'll apply them so that you know what I think. First, how high are prices relative to the traditional measures of prices is a consideration. For example, are PEs high or yields low and that kind of thing. That's a consideration, but it's not what I mean by a bubble. Let's say, for example, you can have prices high, which means returns low, and you can have that go on for a very long time. That doesn't mean a bubble pops. So I'm really looking at whether you get a pop, but still, it's an ingredient. So, for example, let's say if we were to take the bond yields, extremely low levels. And so, say, think about bonds as having a multiple. The multiples of bonds are, like 75 times earnings or something, depending on what bond market you're operating in. And so when stocks compete with bonds, they're competing with low returns. And so it's not unreasonable to think that the stock market could have a multiple of 50 times if bonds have a 75 time multiple. Why can't bonds? And that means a low return. So that's one of the considerations, but it's not all. The second is prices are discounting unsustainable conditions. So unsustainable starts to be part of this picture of a bubble. Unsustainable means that by the nature of the buying, whoever is doing the buying and however that supply demand, that means that that won't be sustained and that produces a correction or price is going down. And then there's this speculative element, number three. So one of those measures of the speculative elements is new buyers in the market. They're attracted in the market. It's the sort of thing where, you go to a cocktail party and people who are never involved in the thing are investing in it. And that could be tech stocks and it could be real estate and whatever, but they're drawn in and that there's a big bullish sentiment. So everybody wants not having these things makes you feel dumb, that kind of thing. And then also number five on my list is big purchases, forward purchases, like if somebody's buying apartments that they don't own, because they think that the apartments are going to go up. Or back in the days where I traded a lot of commodities, I would watch that those who used commodities would, rather than buy from hand to mouth, they would get a lot of forward coverage. In other words, buy inventory to protect themselves against the prices going up. And so when they go from, as we have recently seen in commodities, when they go from not having forward coverage because prices went down and they kept falling and they say, I don't want to own it, to and then it going up and they say, I want to be protected against it going up, that movement causes a lot of buying and so on. So that's buyers that have extended those forward purchases are an indicator that I use. This table here that I'm showing, shows for the stock market as a whole, those items that, you know, are we in a bubble? Is the stock market in a bubble? Well, I apply that basically that framework to all individual securities. And I do that in a systematic way because my process is to write down the criteria, to use filters and so on, and try to see which are in a bubble. So there are different stocks. Some are in bubbles, it seems to me. Some are not in bubbles. And the stock market as a whole is indicated by that table. Let me just go to the next chart. So this chart goes back to 1910, and it shows the on an indicator, the degree to which we're in a bubble. You can see that it's bubbly, and it's not as high as the total bubble, but not as high as it was in 2000, not as high as it was in 1929, but higher than it was in 2007. Let's take a look at the stocks that are in a bubble. A lot of stocks are not in a bubble, according to those criteria. So this goes back to 1995, that chart, and it gives you an idea. So this is the first chart is the share of the top 1,000 charts that are in a bubble. And so it's been about 5%, or the share of the S&P 500, about 2% by comparison to those in 2000. Again, not as high as the 2000 bubble or the 29 bubble, which were comparable, but higher than 2007. So let's go to the next chart. And this shows with the bubble stocks. I put together an index of those that are bubble stocks. And this shows how they've performed in relationship to the S&P 500. And so you could start to see as we're breaking down the bubble. And I believe that that's likely to continue. But being in a bubble, one of the things is, you know, bubbles can expand and contract, and the timing is a big issue. Okay, so why are we in a bubble? This chart goes back to 1900, and the top chart shows debt to GDP. The bottom chart in the blue line shows interest rates, and the red line shows the printing of money, the amount of money that's going in. And so what you can see is when you have a lot of debt, like we have a lot of debt now, and there's a lot of increasing debt, and there's the hitting of zero interest rates in both cases. There's the printing of a lot of money, and that's a key element of the bubbles because they have a lot of liquidity that comes into the market, and then there's a lot of throwing around that money in terms of bidding up all sorts of assets. So you could see that red line. You could see how when the blue line hits zero, interest rates 1930, starting in 2008 and since, we've had that movement. Then you see the largest movement now. So a lot of liquidity, a lot of debt financed, debt monetization makes for a classic bubble. Other items are new IPOs, with particularly if they have no earnings, high price to revenue, or in many cases, no prospect of making money. Those are bubble considerations too. So I would say you can't say the stock market is in the highest a bubble. You can't even say that it's necessarily in a bubble. You have to distinguish which stocks are in a bubble or have been in a bubble from those that are not in a bubble. There are a lot of stocks that aren't. And that bubble is a little bit like the bond market's bubble. So I hope that gave you a little bit of flavor of bubbles and how I look at them and where we are. Thank you.